And in the Pew Bibles, Proverbs chapter 10 is on page 982. Lord, we're grateful for the wisdom of Solomon, and we just are so pleased that he chose to ask for that. And just like James, your half-brother, tells us, if somebody asks, you'll give generously and without finding fault. And thank you that this has been shared and it's available to us. Help us not to use our busy lives and our busyness as excuses for ignoring your written word. Help us to continually hasten back into your presence. Amen. As I read through Proverbs 10, again, I'd like you to think about how this affects our lives, how it connects with what's going on in life situations, and make it practical. I think that as Solomon tried to give wisdom to his sons, especially to Rehoboam, who was becoming the next king, his hope was that he could learn from his dad's mistakes, that he could make some sense out of the world in a positive way and live out the word. And as we get further into the book of James, he's talking about don't just be hearers, be doers. And again, I think Solomon's heart, James's heart, Jesus Christ, God's heart is that we live his word, that we do his word. And so as we look at this particular chapter starts out the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Some of you have children. You kind of know. Sometimes it's the same kid that can do both. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. That's a tough one to look at when you see a lot of people that we would consider to be righteous and following after God, and they seem to be hungry. And I don't know how to resolve that. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. You ever notice as we're going through the Proverbs how many things have to do with our words, with how we use our mouth, our tongue, our lips? Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of one who has no sense. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. I think maybe Paul knew this verse when he wrote that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life. Whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. When the wicked dread, what the wicked dread will overtake them. What the righteous desire will be granted. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the blameless, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Well, let's turn to James, James chapter 1. And today's text is verse 21. If you're looking in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1844. Verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And when you see the therefore, I put it in bold so it would jump out at you. Therefore, it's connecting to something. And what is it connecting to? Well, everything that came before this, where, you know, James is talking about you're going to face trials and troubles and it's going to be a problem. And if you don't understand how to deal with it, ask God and he'll help you. And all of these things. And if you think that you're sinning because of God, don't blame him. It's probably your fault. And there's a number of things that he's pointed out. But then you get to verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. I love that phrase there, that turn of phrase that James uses. His half-brother Jesus, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And so he's talking about the word. And then, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And then it's, therefore, because God chose to give us this birth, he chose to give us the word of truth. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. We've got this concept of the word surrounding everything else here. And we can't let the word and moral filth and evil abide in the same space. If you think he's using kind of mixed metaphors here, when he says get rid of all the moral filth, the Greek word there is like take off. It's a garment, a filthy garment, a dirty garment. Take it off. And you'll find that in a number of other places in Scripture where it's talking about taking off and putting on, taking off wickedness, evil, sin, whatever you want to call it, and then putting on God's robe of righteousness, putting on his goodness, his faithfulness. But we're going to be filled with, and then he jumps to this metaphor of the planting. Something's been planted in you. Can it grow? Well, if the word is planted in our hearts, but we don't take off all the moral filth and all the evil and the wickedness, those are weeds in that garden. And if you let the weeds go long enough, they're going to choke out anything that you wanted to grow. So what do we want to grow in our hearts? And there's a concept here where this is something that we have to be active in. It's not just, you know, let go and let God. I love that because God's in control. And I know that sometimes I get in the way because I'm trying to be in control. But there is a part where we need to actively say, it's time to weed my garden. It's time to take these things out of my life. There's a distraction that's been keeping me from turning to the Word. There's a distraction that's keeping me from having quiet time with God or prayer or meeting with my neighbors in a positive and fun way. And there's distractions that take over our lives that we think are so important, and yet all they are is weeds. And if you let weeds grow, they're going to grow fast and they're going to multiply because they go to seed quickly. Get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It says all of it. It doesn't say just, you know, get rid of some of it. Don't get rid of just the bad ones, but it's all of it. And then humbly accept the Word. Now, he's already said in verse 18 that he chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. It's in us. This Word, he's saying in verse 21, it's planted in you. So the Word is planted in us, and yet we still need to accept it. And it's an ongoing, continuous thing. It doesn't just happen once. We can think of receiving Christ, receiving the Word as a one-time event, and yet it's not just a one-time event. It's an ongoing, continuous process. And we're humbly accepting it. How do we humbly accept it? Knowing that the growth that we want, the fruit that we would like to see in our lives is not something we can produce. But God's given us the Word. He's given us birth through His Word. He's planted His Word in us. And through that, as the soil is properly nurtured and taken care of, there's going to be a positive fruit. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. All of these things that God wants to nurture in us will come out as Holy Spirit fruit, because Holy Spirit is the one that inspired and gave the Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's given to us by the Spirit. And so as we humbly accept the Word, and yeah, I got enough time. Let's, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, and I think I'll start with verse 11. If you're in the Pew Bibles, it's page 313. The way Deuteronomy fits into Scripture is Moses has been told he doesn't get to go into the Promised Land. And they've wandered around after the first counting and the second counting, in between those two, in the book of Numbers. You know, they're getting ready to go in. It should be an exciting time. And then they say, oh, too scary. We can't do this. And so God says, fine, you're all going to die in the wilderness. And everyone that had been counted in the first census in Numbers ends up dying in the wilderness, over 600,000 fighting men. And so they get to the end of Numbers, and there's another counting, and it's about the same number of people, but they're different people. And number of years, 40 years has passed. And so Moses realizes he's not going into the Promised Land. He's passing leadership on to Joshua, but before he does that, he wants to make sure that the Word is planted in them. And so he goes through the law again. It had been given to them back in Exodus, but this is Deuteronomy, means the second law. It's the same law. When you read Exodus and Deuteronomy, nothing changed other than it's just been given a second time. And as he's getting towards the end of the sermons here, basically Deuteronomy is a series of sermons, verse 11 of chapter 30, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. He's saying, you know what? You don't have an excuse. I've given you the Word. Now we've even got more Word. If these people didn't have an excuse, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. And sometimes people, it's just too difficult. I don't know what God wants. It's like, yeah, if you want to know what God wants, it's not hiding from you. God's not trying to sneak around and catch you. He's saying, here it is. Take it. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim to us so we may obey it. No, the Word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. When the Jews got up every morning, they would say the Shema. They would say, again and again, God's word. And that is part of this Deuteronomy passage, jumping back to chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, they would recite these sections of the law every day. So when he's saying to them, it's in your mouth, every morning they would get up, and as a ritual, and sometimes that's what our relationship with God just becomes, ritual. And then we say, oh, God's so far from me, I can't connect with him. Well, his word is available to us. Sometimes it's in our mouth, it's in our heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Choose which one you want, right? I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, if you have those weeds in your heart, if you're not taking out all of the evil, and I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. So, you know, we can go to Old Testament, New Testament. It's a consistent message. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of the evil. Those sins that so easily beset us. Weed them out. Now, sometimes we can't do that alone. And I, most of the time, all the time, we can't do that alone. We need God. But sometimes the way that God helps us is with one another. Are we of the heart that listens and grows, or are we the chattering fools that Solomon talks about? That every time someone tries to bring correction, we have an excuse on why what they're saying isn't right and it isn't for us, and they're worse than us. And we can come up with thousands of reasons not to listen to people that are trying to bring us correction. But, you know, back here in James, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. And you know, just like in James's day, in our day, do you think evil and filth and moral corruption are prevalent? How far do you have to go to find problems in the world? Most of us don't have to leave our own presence to find there's issues, that things I need to weed out of my life, things that don't belong there. And then as I get rid of the moral filth, the evil, I humbly accept the word that's planted in me. And I recognize, okay, my heart needs to be that soil that Jesus talked about that produces 30, 100-fold. And it can only do that if I keep on humbly accepting the word that's already planted in me. Continuously, humbly accepting it. And then it says, which can save you. Now this is just language. I mean, what does that mean? It can be kind of scary if you're looking at this and saying, okay, what's going to save me here? Which can save you? What's the which connect to? Does the which connect to my process of weeding out things? Or no, it's what's going to save me is the planted word. And the good news here is James is writing to a whole bunch of followers of Jesus, followers of the way. These are Christians. He's writing to us. Just do the word. It'll save you. When you get totally sanctified and you're in God's presence, you're covered. We don't save ourselves. It's his Holy Spirit word that's planted in us that we need to do. The next thing he's going to jump to next week, we'll talk a little about, you know, don't merely listen, but do. Too many other places I could connect to here, and I'm going to cut short. But I think maybe as I close here, if we could all just contemplate in your own minds, what's an area of sin in my life, in your life? You can come and tell me later. Don't have to shout it out now if you see sin in my life. Can we share with one another to the point where we're spurring one another on to love and good deeds? What areas in our lives need restructured, need changed? All moral filth. And I think, you know, too quickly we jump to the list of sins that the church has been against or we've been against in our lives. The old adage of I don't drink or smoke or chew or go with girls that do or whatever. It's kind of, there's wickedness and there's wickedness. And some of the wickedness that Jesus seemed most concerned about was religious wickedness. Do we need to repent of our righteousness, our self-righteousness? What is it that we keep turning back to that keeps us from growing fruit from that word that's planted in us? What is it that keeps getting in the way that needs to be removed? And James says, you know, because God's so good, because he desires you to do the right thing and your efforts, your human anger, it's not going to produce the righteousness that God desires, but the righteousness God desires can be produced through the word that's planted in you. How do we get there? And no, I don't expect a verbal response. It's something, though, that I think we probably should spend more time recognizing and thinking about. I shared with a few of you that this week I went to Anderson Island and there was a large structure on our neighbor's lot that our tenant built. And it needed to be removed. And it was planted in concrete posts, about 15 by 30 and about 12 feet tall. And I dismantled this structure. And as I'm taking that out, looking at the structure, it was solid. It could have held for years. If you had just left it alone, it probably would have been there 50 or 100 years from now. It would have withstood some windstorms. But it needed to go because it didn't belong there. What is it in our lives that, even though it might look good and solid and think, well, that's got value, we don't want to get rid of that. There's things in our lives that we value that God doesn't value. And they're keeping us from knowing him better. And those things in our lives that we think are so important. And God's just saying, okay, but heaven and earth's going to pass away. My word's going to remain forever. Let's let his word grow in us so that we're investing in the eternal kingdom and not just in the here and now. Let's pray. Father, your word is true. It's been tested and tried and it's trustworthy. And too often we forget that. Help us to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. And humbly accept, meekly accept, the word that you've planted in us that brings salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.